Welcome to Playable Character. I'm Sean Ryder. Very often, our interviews run much longer than the amount of time we think a podcast should take up. Occasionally, the stuff we have to cut out is really interesting, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't fit in with the episode. That happened with my story about the National Pinball Museum. David Silverman, the creator and curator of the museum, is a wealth of knowledge about the history of the form. We can pack many episodes with the interesting history and lessons from Mr. Silverman. One thing that I was sad to cut from the original story was David's discussion of the longevity of the pinball industry in spite of the hardships and changes that had occurred over the years. Among the most significant blows to the industry was Mayor LaGuardia's media-minded stunts in New York City, which culminated in the outlawing of pinball machines, a law that was to stand in New York and other major American cities for over 30 years. We joined the discussion as David describes what is happening in a photo from 1938 of Mayor LaGuardia knocking over a pinball machine.
Valley Bumper game is a joke because, first of all, that game is not a payout game. So there's no gambling involved in that game, but it was a publicity stunt for him to convince the people of New York City that, I'm saving you for the big bad pinball, which is destroying your children. I mean, it's all nonsense. There was an era in which pinball machines did pay out, and there's a number of games there that do pay out. And eventually that went by the wayside, but the fact that they couldn't distinguish a game of skill from a game of chance was just nonsense. They just didn't spend the time doing it. And that was 1947 when they added flippers to a game, so that they should have legalized pinball in 1947 when the flipper changed the whole aspect of pinball, which was now you have control. Now you are playing a game of skill because you can control the ball rather than it being like a slot machine. You know, you pull an arm and it just spins, you have no control over it. You do have control over pinball. And that was 1947, and they didn't legalize it until 1976. So it's like, what the hell were they doing for 20 years? You know, oh God.
So I wanted to return just for a second to LaGuardia. So when they destroyed those machines in New York City, they took all the balls, right?
They did everything. A lot of them were thrown into the East River, into the Hudson River, took boats out to them, just dumped them into the rivers.
Now,
they smashed them, they burned them, they did everything to them.
And what I've heard is that they took the steel from the balls and then used it to produce weapons for the war.
Right? I've never heard that.
No?
But it's certainly possible because I know that they the Japanese bought, I think it was called the L, which was the above-ground subway system in, I think it was Brooklyn. And they took that steel to Japan and made bombs and airplanes from that steel.
Ah.
So it's very possible that they could have. I know during the war, no pinball machines were allowed to be made because the materials that were needed were used for the war effort. So companies like Dave Gottlieb was smart enough to get government contracts to build parachutes and gun clips and all kinds of things so he could keep his people working as long as the war was on. And then when it was over, the government said, okay, you're allowed to make pinball machines. And that really changed the dynamics of the companies involved in pinball because it really reduced the number because many of them couldn't survive. And so I think after the war, there were like 7 or 8 companies and that was it. And that dwindled down to the one that exists now, which is Stern Pinball, still out in Chicago. Fortunately, there's a new company starting up in New Jersey, and we're going to be one of the distributors. It's called Jersey Jack Pinball, and they're building a new game called The Wizard of Oz, and they have the rights to the early Turner owns the film, but the early, what's the name? Dorothy. I can't remember her name. I can't believe it. The rights to that movie, so the whole game is based on the early movie, and we've seen pieces of the of the game being made, because we're distributors and we're putting in money toward the game, and it's going to be a spectacular game, and I can't wait. I think it's a really good sign that another company is coming on board to maybe, you know, bring pinball out of its doldrums. Pinball has had highs and lows throughout its history. But this year, I don't know if I mentioned it, but this year is the 140th anniversary of the plunger, which was what changed pinball from bagatelle to really the smaller games that were of the late 1900s, early 1900s, and changed the game from a game with a cue stick to a game with a plunger that would shoot a ball. So, you know, it's got a long history to it. Pinball has not stopped ever since it started. It's never yet ceased to exist in terms of making new games, which is a real testament to the fact that here is an art form, a fun game that has still survived this long, and it's still going on. And that is exciting to me, because that really shows me that there's still enough interest that people realize that this is, you know, kind of a, if you want to call it a healthy, you know, family-oriented entertainment, which today, you know, if you're sitting there in your room and all you do is look at a computer all day long, you play a game of pinball, the physical game, not a pinball on a computer, and you realize how different it really is. And so that's what we're trying to do as part of a museum, is get people in and become part of the space, part of playing a game. So you're really an interactive way of expressing what goes on from a game from 1920 to a game to 2011.
Pinball is here to stay, and the National Pinball Museum will return, hopefully to stay. Right now, the museum is moving to a new location in Baltimore, Maryland, and they hope to reopen in 2012. The museum board still hopes to have a presence in Washington, D.C., but so far, nothing concrete has been planned. We wish David Silverman and his colleagues at the National Pinball Museum all the best. You can keep up with developments at the museum on their website, www.nationalpinballmuseum.org. You can also keep up with developments in the playable character world on our website, www.playablecharacter.com. Show notes with links to all sorts of edifying information are up there for your convenience. Music in this episode was provided by Lotog Blanco, Sippy Cup, and David Logan, in that order. Like our page on Facebook and find us on Twitter, where we are at PlayableCHAR. We're still quite deficient in the iTunes review category, so please be so kind as to drop us a review on iTunes. As usual, you can get in touch with us at info@playablecharacter.com or just leave a comment on the website. Thanks for listening. This has been a bonus episode of Playable Character.